we are starting a new series called Pharisee and Me. Maybe, I don't know if you're aware of what a Pharisee is, but a Pharisee used their positions to feed their own egos. They were more concerned with their own pocketbook than they were with the needs of people that had nothing. Pharisees loved themselves more than God. Pharisees were people that they loved the process and they loved the system and they loved the gathering, the pomp and circumstance, if you would, the show of church rather than the life with God. And so they were, if Jesus got angry in the New Testament, if he got angry at anybody, he got angry at these people, these religious people. In fact, Jesus condemned the Pharisees for their pride, their lack of compassion, and their hypocrisy. And in fact, just so you're aware, a Pharisee is the antithesis of what Jesus calls us to be. The complete opposite of what Jesus calls you and I to be is wrapped up in what you would see in a Pharisee. And so the image that I want you to see that's here is something that Jesus speaks about, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But let me give you, out of Luke, here's something that Jesus says about the Pharisees. He says, "You Pharisees, you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and wickedness." In other places, he says, "You guys are like whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you are polished and you look wonderful, but inside, you're full of dead men's bones." So what he's telling these Pharisees is, you can look great on the outside while on the inside you are just filthy. That's exactly what this is. The image that I don't want us to miss, because this is a 3-week series. And every week you're going to be seeing this series, and I want it to remind you of what we're talking about. This is about, we can look one way on the outside and be completely filthy on the inside. He's speaking of the outside of their lives and how their hearts and their minds are just corrupt and filthy. A recent survey revealed that 51% of North American Christians polled all possess attitudes and actions that are more like Pharisees than they are like Jesus. In other words, our attitudes, and I'm not saying all of us, but I would say that we are prone to this, obviously. The attitudes of most Christians were described as self-righteous and hypocritical. In fact, when you talk to people that are outside the church, one of the things that they identify with people in the church is that they're hypocrites. People outside look at us inside and they say they're just hypocrites. They want us, I think that they feel like we are trying to put on a show that we're like better than, and obviously we're not, but that's how people see people in the church. It really is bad when we truly are judgmental. We might be surprised how our attitudes and our actions are far too much like Pharisees and not enough like Jesus. Jesus gives a warning to his disciples, us included, and he says this in Luke 12. He says, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy." And what he's saying is, just like a little yeast affects the whole lump of dough. You put in just this little package, it's like a tablespoon or teaspoon, you put in this little package into, and it affects the whole lump of dough. He's saying the hypocrisy, just a little bit of it, will affect all of your lives. It will consume your heart. It'll consume your actions. It'll consume us if we allow it in. And Jesus gives this warning to his disciples and to us as well. That's what this series is about. What starts out little grows to affect every area of our lives. So we need to address this Pharisee in ourselves. And today what we're looking at is this Pharisee trait, something that we need to deal with, that we're looking at spiritual indifference. I don't know if you've ever thought about this in your own life, but spiritual indifference is a very big issue for anybody. If you start following Christ for a period of time, at some point you come to terms or you come to deal with this issue of spiritual indifference. Webster's defines indifference as a lack of interest or concern. So when you think about it, as a Christ follower, if we actually become unconcerned with the things of the Spirit, how hypocritical are we? That sounds so much like a Pharisee. Here's what Jesus said about the end times, what it would be like when he returns, okay? And maybe you can identify with this when you hear it. Maybe you can identify with it being relevant in our culture today. He says, "When I return, the world will be as indifferent to the things of God as the people were in Noah's day. They ate and drank and married, everything just as usual, right up to the day when Noah went to the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." So it's just like James is getting married this coming Saturday. It's just like days of Noah, right? Well, it's not just like that. But you know what I'm saying? Here we have this issue where it's just life as normal, and what happens is people become spiritually indifferent, just like the days of Noah when God brought destruction. This generation, I don't know if you've identified or you've seen it, but I think you have. This generation has been known as the generation. It's like, how are you doing today? People, you say, hey, how's life going? How's the family? Could be better, could be worse. Hey, how's work going? And you think about it, and then you go, well, how is your spiritual life doing? And that's how we identify our lives. There's nothing great. It's just, it's not the best. We recently read this scripture. I want to read it again. I'm not going to elaborate on it, but I do want you to get the picture of what Jesus is saying. It's in Revelation. When he's speaking of the spiritual indifference, this is a very good picture, if you would. This is a letter that Jesus is writing to a church in Laodicea, and he says to this church, he says, I know all the things that you do, that you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish that you were one or the other, but since you are lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I have no use for you. Being spiritually stale, detached, unmoved, which is kind of here, you know? There's no passion for the things of God in our life. In fact, I would say our spiritual lives, you can tell that you have this Pharisee issue if you find yourself acting a certain way because other people are watching. Because other people might be around and might be looking. So you find yourself acting differently than you normally would. Jesus says, it doesn't just break my heart, it makes me sick. There's two causes I've seen for spiritual indifference. First one is this. You can write it down in your notes if you want. It's this. We have what we need. We have everything that we need already. We are self-sufficient, as it were. The verse after the one that we just read in Revelation says this, you say, I am rich and I have acquired wealth and I do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What we do is we kind of come and we say, hey, you know, I'm good. I've got all that I need. I've got my coffee today. I've got my iPhone upgraded. I've got my unlimited data plan. I've got my Amazon Prime. I've got my car, my Netflix account. I've got my 401k. I've got all these things that are bringing my life comfort and safety that I'm looking for. What do we need? I've got everything that I need. And Jesus is saying, you have material stuff, but you're spiritually void. Think about that. If Jesus would make that kind of statement to us, I'm not saying that he's making it to all of us, but that's the last thing in the world that we would want, is for Jesus to make a statement that you are so full of stuff, but yet you are spiritually void. You're lacking. It's terrible to think that you can be so full of stuff and yet still be spiritually bankrupt. It's this illusion of being self-sufficient. Another cause that I would say bring spiritual indifference is the distractions of life. The distractions of this world, as it were. But they're really the distractions that we all have every single day. And it can be just that simple, just being distracted. Jesus tells the story of a farmer who goes out and he has this bag of seed and he throws it. And some lands on good soil, some lands on bad soil, some lands on rocky soil, some lands on soil that has thorns in it. The ones that are covered with thorns, it says this. This is what happens to the seed or the word of God that gets thrown out into this area where there's thorns. It says, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So no matter what word we get exposed to, no matter what God is doing spiritually in our lives, if we allow the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, they will come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful and unprofitable. So you can read it, you can be exposed to it, and walk out unmoved and unchanged. You know how it happens. You can be here this morning and God can be really dealing with you. God can be speaking to you and giving you something that says, I want to ignite a spiritual fire in you. And inside, this stirring goes on. And by the time you get home, the distractions of life have already removed you and removed God from your whole thought process. It's not like we don't care. It's not like we're bad people. It's just the fact that we are exposed to life. We get distracted. We allow life to fill us without going to God to fill us. And here's the problem. Because we're getting so full of stuff, we're not going to God for what we really need. That becomes the problem. You can read about it in the next verse in Revelation 3:18. Jesus says, come to me and buy gold from me. Come to me and buy your clothes from me. All the things that you would search out to purchase in this world, he says, come to me and buy these things from me. But we just find it more convenient to let the world fill us. I think a lot of us, and I say that very conservatively, okay? I say that cautiously. This is not an accusation. I think many people have just enough of Jesus to help them feel good about eternity. We have just enough of Jesus. We pray and we got baptized and we're good with where we're going in the future. We're good with enough Jesus to kind of help us feel better about ourselves, but we don't want enough Jesus to change us. That is the kind of thing that you see in a Pharisee. A Pharisee, they want to be a part of the religious system. They want to be a part of what's going on, the life of what's happening, but they don't want to be changed. So how does the spiritual indifference set in? I've got some things here, and I'm going to go through this pretty quickly. So if you miss it, you can get it online or something, but I'm going to go through these fairly quickly. Some things that spiritual indifference, that causes spiritual indifference to set in. First of all, we're more concerned with impressing people than living for God. That's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. We're more concerned with what everybody else thinks than what God thinks. Am I popular? Do I blend in? Do you accept me? Rather than, is God pleased with me? There's a scripture in 2 Timothy 3, it says this, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days that there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves. And then you jump down into verse 5 and it says this, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Listen, all of us, because the Pharisee issue is about our human tendency, about our human nature, all of us have this tendency to be Pharisees. And we have to understand this kind of a scripture is so important for us to hear, to ask God to do something in our lives that we could actually act religious and reject the power of the Holy Spirit that can actually make us godly. Jesus warned us, he said in Luke 6, he says, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Even though we seek the approval or impressing other people rather than living for God, Jesus says, woe to you when everybody speaks well of you. Here's another one. Another way that indifference sets in is we're obsessed with life on earth rather than eternity. It's all about what we can get now, things, stuff. I mean, scripture tells us, do not love the world or anything that is in the world. In fact, it says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And yet, we have this tendency to be obsessed with the world, with life here, with making things great for us here. We want everything to be perfect and safe and kind, everything. We want it all, rather than living engaged with the Spirit of God, rather than thinking about how are we building eternity. Here's another way that indifference sets in. We rationalize sin rather than exposing it. In our culture, what we tend to do is we tend to rename it as so that it's not that bad. We don't call it adultery, we call it having an affair. If we don't like pornography, it's adult entertainment. We give it a better name to kind of ease ourselves. We tell ourselves it's not that bad. That becomes the very first step of indifference setting in when we convince ourselves that what we're doing that's tied to sin is not that bad. Everybody else is doing it. It's not as bad as what other people are doing. I'm not hurting anyone, Dave. Selfishness isn't that big of a deal. Everyone gossips, you know. It's not like I'm hurting anybody. I'm just looking at porn, that's all. I'm not hurting anyone. We can't rationalize sin. Another way indifference sets in is we believe in Jesus, but we rarely share our faith. I know that we've talked a little bit about that, just kind of touched on it in the last series. But Jesus reminds us, he says, hey, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But if you disown me, I'm going to disown you. We say that we believe in Jesus, but we just have this problem with sharing our faith. There's a lot that's in that that I would love to unpack. But I'm telling you, I think that We have to trust the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to share your faith. We can't say, I don't know enough. We just have to share our story. Another way that indifference sets in is this. We only turn to God when we really need Him. That's it. We don't really turn to God, but we go to God when we really need Him, and that's it. We don't seek Him every single day. We only seek Him when we need something from Him. He becomes a tool that we use when we have a need in our lives. He's not a God that we love and a God that we worship and a God that we want to spend time with. He just becomes this genie in a bottle. Another way indifference sets in is we're not much different from the world. Listen, you know what? I think that we really have to look at this for ourselves. And, you know, I'm not trying to step on toes, trust me. I'm trying to help us not become the Pharisees. But can I just say this, you know, just for you to think about, I mean, I have to say this to myself too. We watch the same music, or we watch the same movies, we listen to the same music, we basically have the same morals, we raise our kids the same way, we spend our money the same way, our divorce rate's the same. Romans 12 tells us, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. I'm telling you, indifference sets in when we are not much different than the world. He's called us to be different, and indifference prevents us from being different. So how do you reignite a spiritual fire? You know what? I don't want to give you a list. I don't want to sit here and say, hey, you know what? You got to come to church every week. You got to read your Bible every day. You got to pray every day. That becomes a list of things to do to check out, you know, the box that we talked about last week. I'd rather give you one thing that you could say, I'm going to do this every single day. One thing that you can do every single day to reignite a spiritual fire in your life. Every day, do something that requires faith. Every day. Do something that requires faith. Let God lead you to do something that you cannot do on your own. Something that requires a belief in Him, a need, a necessity for Him to come through. I'll tell you, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons that we need this faith expression in our lives is because life becomes the same old thing. I was talking to somebody last week, and they're like, I said, how's it going? Oh, you know, get up, go to work, go work out. Come home, eat, go to bed, get up, go to... Life has this routine about it. When there is no steps of faith, life is just a routine that becomes boredom. It has no meaning. It doesn't hold anything special for us. One thing that requires faith, maybe it's standing up for something, even though you know you're going to be mocked. Maybe it's giving money that you've like, oh, I don't really feel like I have it to give. Maybe you're going to apologize to somebody that you've wronged, that you need to apologize to. Or maybe you're going to volunteer to pray that you never would do that before. Maybe you're going to start a devotion with your spouse, or you're going to start a devotion with your family. Expose yourself to something that breaks your heart, that you kind of avoid. Maybe you're going to pray for something that might even be impossible. What we need is we need God's presence and we need God's power in our life in order for anything meaningful to come out of our lives. And why does this matter? As you know the scripture, but it's Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. We have to have this faith expression in our life. And at the same time, James tells us that faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So my question is, maybe what we can do is we can take a step and we can do something that requires faith. It might be something as simple as praying for the people around you. It might be praying for family members rather than allowing them to be frustrated or allowing yourself to get frustrated with them. Maybe you begin to develop a heart for them that breaks for them. I mean, you know, a lie that we've come to believe, a lie that a Pharisee would believe is, it's easier not to care. It's better not to get involved. And I would say this, and I read this fill out on your handout if you want to write it in. It's better to hurt with a purpose than it is to exist without one. And God always puts on our heart what breaks His heart. What's going on in other people's... When your heart breaks for others, it is always better than to exist without any kind of purpose at all in your life. One last scripture I want to read for you. Revelations 19. Jesus says this. He says, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Every day. Every day. One thing that requires faith. Are you involved in a religious act and forgotten your love for Jesus? Do you have all that you need? Have you found that the world has completely satisfied you? Have you gone to the world to fill you rather than going to God? Maybe you're distracted. Maybe you're just so busy or things are going, whatever it is, it's just life. That before long, what's naturally going to happen is you'll be void of anything of substance. Revelation 3:17 again says this, "You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing." Father, you hear all of our hearts today. I would venture to say, Father, that every one of us in here do not want to be a Pharisee. I would also say, Father, that all of us see the tendency to be a Pharisee in ourselves. So, Father, what I'm asking today is that you would, first of all, continue to speak to us. Father, help us not to allow distractions to come our way. Keep us focused, keep us centered. Father, help the worries and the anxieties of life to not choke out what you're doing in our lives and what you want to do in our lives, what your Spirit is actually saying. Help us to take a step of faith every day. Help us to do something every day that requires faith. Father, help us to do something every day that requires us to depend upon you, that if you don't show up, it fails. Father, we don't want to be more concerned about pleasing people than about pleasing you. Father, we don't want to be rationalizing our sin. We want to be confessing it. Father, we want to be different because you called us to be different. Father, may your Spirit reside and may your Spirit ignite a fire in our lives, in our church, to be people that are passionate for you, passionate for others, that don't try to blend into this world but are willing to stand out. I thank you for every person that's here. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives collectively, but in each person's lives individually. And I know that at this moment right now, Father, you're speaking into lives. You're speaking. You're putting your finger on things that you would like us to remove or things that you would like us to do or things that you would like us to be that we have allowed distractions to come in. Father, today we commit ourselves to your ways, to loving you, and not setting our focus on this world. Because this world holds nothing. And everything in it will burn. And this is not our home. So, Father, we ask that you would destroy the Pharisee in us. In Jesus' name, amen.